Support for Faith Matters comes from the law offices of Mullen, Hoard, and Brown, LLP, offering a full range of legal services to regional and national clients. Mullen, Hoard, and Brown are members of ALFA International. More information is available at 765-7491 or mullenhoard.com.
Welcome to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health, celebrating 100 years of faith and healing for Eastern New Mexico and West Texas. Covenant Health's mission continues to be ministry through healing by caring for the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. Now here's your host, Tom McGovern.
I'm Tom McGovern, host of Faith Matters, and it's my delight this Sunday afternoon to have as our guest my friend, Dr. Janice Elliott, who is joining us to talk about the pre-modern biblical exhibit at the museum. Janice, it's a delight to have you here this Sunday afternoon. Native of Canada.
Yes.
How long have you been in Lubbock?
13 years. Okay. I was born in Glasgow.
In Scotland.
In Scotland, yes. But I moved as a child to Hamilton, Ontario. I spent my youth there, but I moved to Victoria as an adult. So I lived in Victoria, British Columbia for many years before I came here.
You're associate professor of art at Texas Tech. Art history, yeah. What called you to art and to art history?
I always loved art from childhood. Not necessarily making art. That never occurred to me because I didn't really feel like I had any talent in that area, but I always wanted to look at art. I always loved going to museums, and it wasn't until I was an adult that I realized that a person could make a career out of looking at art. And so I just started taking courses and discovered that there was such a thing as art history and said, that's for me.
Great. Where did you take your academic work at?
I started out with modern art, which I really, you know, liked, and thought I might do that. But then when I took a medieval art course, just kind of by accident, and went, oh my God, I get to be a sleuth. The investigating was what really drew me into it, because there's so little known. You don't have all the documents. It's not recent history, so somebody can tell you what happened. I just got really excited about the possibilities of digging around to find out the information.
We had a wonderful discussion with your colleague, John Howe, on the extent of it. We couldn't decide whether it was 1,000 years or 500 years or 600 years, of course. So if you were to put a number on the medieval period, as you would understand it, what would it be for you?
I think in general, art historians consider it 500 to 1,500. It's a lot of years and it's a lot of material to cover, but it's so interesting. Around that same time at university, I took a course on Dante. Took that course, that was at the University of Victoria, and got really interested in the imagery of hell, the imagery of Last Judgment scenes and that sort of thing. And that's what led me into my doctoral work, the paintings on Last Judgment scenes in Italy.
Quite graphic, shall we say?
Yes. Somewhat gory sometimes, yeah.
A lot of Christian preaching. We never preach that much about heaven. And of course, there's such a magnificent description of the spiritual dimensions of goodness and beauty and wonder in Dante's description of heaven, especially.
Yeah, it's true. But visually, hell is more interesting.
Of course. So how interesting. That interest in medieval art and the background to medieval art. Is there any particular artist or any particular period that is of special appeal to you?
I always like the periods of transition. For example, like in Britain with the Irish and the, you know, that whole transition period when after the Romans left and the...
When the Irish monks came into Lindisfarne.
Yeah, exactly. That is so interesting to me. Then you have the Carolingian period where they're trying to recreate the Roman Empire and taking on the whole idea of renovatio imperi Romani. And so all of those periods that comes sort of successively, that all those periods of changes produce the most interesting art. So for me, it's any of those periods. And I work in the 13th and 14th century mainly, and there are big changes coming up before the Renaissance. Those are the most interesting to me.
What particular dynamic do you find at work in the art of in these periods of change?
I'm not sure of the answer to that, except that they're passionate about what they're representing. and they're trying to do something new. In the case of the Irish, they were trying to spread Christianity, and so they had these really amazing abstract images in the manuscripts because people couldn't read, so they used images to attract people to the concept. It's just so visually exciting because of the energy, their passion.
In our exhibit of the pre-modern Bibles, from the Dead Sea Scrolls to the Competentium Polyglot Bible, the Bibles in a special way for people who couldn't read or write, how the illustrations were so, so important.
Yeah, the illustrations were very important. The earliest illustrations in Bibles were just the author portraits. And that was a tradition taken from Roman literature, having the author's portrait at the beginning of the book. Virgil appears in the beginning of the Aeneid. Then they started to add illustrations. Originally, the Bibles, when they were written and completed, they were just one or a few books of the Bible. There was no sort of whole Bible compendium. They were able to add a few illustrations to kind of narrate the biblical stories visually. Then they started to create entire Bibles. They had to use sort of smaller writing, smaller calligraphy to create the text and also to pack in the narratives. They did them in registers, kind of like comic strips. So let's get the whole story on one page kind of things. They have different sort of techniques, narrative strategies to get all the stories in there without taking away from the text.
At this point, Janice, we'll take a short break and we'll be back to continue this interesting and wonderful conversation.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health. Since 1918, Covenant has brought together world-class physicians, nurses, and professionals whose sacred mission is compassionate care for every patient. And as Lubbock's most awarded hospital for high-quality patient care, you know you're in caring hands. For more information and to see our 100 years of medical milestones, visit covenant100.org.
Support for Faith Matters comes from Hospice of Lubbock, serving the 19-county South Plains region since 1986. The staff offers faith-based end-of-life care for both children and adult patients. More information is available at hospiceoflubbock.org.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. My delight this Sunday afternoon to have as our special guest Dr. Janice Elliott, and with Dr. John Howe, co-curator of the wonderful biblical exhibition now showing at the museum at Texas Tech University, is the pre-modern Bible from the Dead Sea Scrolls to the Competentium Polyglot Bible. What prompted John and yourself to put this exhibit together?
It was John's idea to do this. This is really his area of Bible history. That it's not my area of expertise, but he had all these ideas about what could be in Bible exhibition, and he asked me if I wanted to work with him, and so I could bring in the visual aspect of it and the illustration of the Bibles. And so we worked on it for about 2 years. He knew that we had the Texas Medieval Association annual conference coming up at Texas Tech in 2018. And he thought it would be really great to do an exhibition that would work for it. And he said he'd always wanted to do a Bible exhibition and to show the development of the Bible and taking a kind of scholarly approach to it to show that the study of the Bible and the way that scholars and theologians had worked on the Bible and studied the Bible was the model for our modern contemporary modes of scholarships. For example, the invention of footnotes and the idea of citing your sources and all that sort of thing was invented by Bede.
You mentioned pictures of authors. I was looking at the 8th century, the picture of the scribe at work. What was particularly important about that?
About that image?
Yeah.
It's meant to be an author portrait, the author sitting there writing, but behind him is the cupboard with the books, and there are 9 volumes in there. And it's thought to make a reference to the 9 volumes of the Bible that Cassiodorus had made in southern Italy. It's thought that Bede was able to bring to England. I think there was the sale of his books after his death, and I think they ended up in England. It's something to do with that. It's making a reference to those 9 volumes. The idea that the whole Bible would take up 9 volumes is pretty interesting in itself. But it's also a fairly naturalistic portrait compared to the way the Irish were depicting their author portraits, which were more, not stick figures, but more sort of decorative line drawings. These were like very non-naturalist. They really weren't concerned with them looking like human beings because they were more interested in the spiritual. They were abstract images in the Irish Bibles. The Matthew page is a sort of a combination, a little bit of the naturalism that could have been the influence of having seen the Amiatinus, still steeped in the Irish love of the colors and the patterns and still somewhat abstract. And the letters, you can barely read them because they didn't really care that you could read them. Nobody could read anyway. It was it was more about the pattern and the design and the spiritual qualities of it. Just knowing it was the Word of God was enough.
The manuscripts, John went into this, the background of how the actual manuscripts were made, either from vellum or from papyrus. From the artistic point of view, which was the easier one to create images on?
I think it must have been much more difficult to use papyrus. It's harder to get the smooth surface. The animal skins can be polished to a very, very smooth surface, but it's still not easy. It's still not easy to control a quill pen and get all that beautiful writing on there.
I think some of the most beautiful illustrated ones are perhaps the Book of the Hours.
Let me back up for a moment and start with Psalters. Psalters in the 13th century started to become customized for personal devotion for lay people. The Psalters were used by monks generally to recite the Psalms on a daily basis, so that there were lay people who wanted to emulate the lives of the monks, even though they had their worldly lives and their professional lives, they still wanted to have that devotional component in their lives. They started to customize psalters for personal use. That sort of caught on. The psalter leads to several different kinds of manuscripts in the 13th century. But one of them was the Book of Hours, which was centered on the office of the Virgin. A lot of images and prayers all focused on the Virgin. But also, there was a section of Psalms in there. Plus, they could customize it then for the person who was going to own the book could have prayers to some other, a name saint or a family saint or something like that. And this became a custom with the elite, the aristocrats. The French royal family were big on this. We have a Book of Hours from Flanders that would fit in my tiny little hands that you'll see. It's open there and you have to get it pretty close to see it. And it's just stunningly beautiful. And then we have a facsimile of the Book of Hours of Jean de Vries, which is also one of those that fits in the palm of your hand. But we've left it closed to show you the binding of it because it's sort of a famous one.
How do they inscribe them in such a tiny, tiny books? All done by hand, of course.
It's interesting that these tiny, tiny, tiny books with the tiny, tiny, tiny script coincides with the invention of eyeglasses. So that they could wear glasses to actually see what they were doing.
Well, listen, at this particular point, Jans, we'll take a brief break and we'll continue this fascinating excursion journey through Bibles and to the various books as the various parts of the Bible and the holy books became part of popular devotion.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health. Since 1918, Covenant has brought together world-class physicians, nurses, and professionals whose sacred mission is compassionate care for every patient. And as Lubbock's most awarded hospital for high-quality patient care, you know you're in caring hands. For more information and to see our 100 years of medical milestones, visit covenant100.org. The views, opinions, and comments that are expressed on this program are solely those of the host and guest and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions of KTTZ-FM, Texas Tech Public Media, Texas Tech University, Texas Tech University System, or our faculty and staff, our affiliates, our partners, and our sponsors.
Support for Faith Matters comes from Hospice of Lubbock, serving the 19-county South Plains region since 1986. The staff offers faith-based end-of-life care for both children and adult patients. More information is available at hospiceoflubbock.org.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. It's my delight this Sunday afternoon to have as our special guest, Dr. Janice Elliott. And Janice, co-curator of the wonderful biblical exhibit of pre-modern Bibles from the Dead Sea Scrolls to the Compendium Polyglot Bible. It's a vast period of history that is captured in this exhibit. Moving forward a little to in the time of Pope Gregory the Great, you have a great portrait of Pope Gregory the Great as part of the exhibit.
We couldn't resist requesting the loan of this portrait because it's so spectacular. It's a portrait of Gregory with the dove whispering in his ear, inspiring him to his writings. This is a painting from about 1620, and it shows him in these most magnificent robes, beautifully painted the way they did in the Renaissance and Baroque periods with all those beautiful textiles. And it's just a stunning portrait of him. It's part of the sort of series. One part of the wall that John designed is all about the scholars of the Bible. And Gregory the Great was one of the wonderful scholars of the Bible from 1,000 years earlier than that portrait. He's shown in the robes of the 16th century, 16th, 17th century.
And of course, he was the one who said art was the Bible of the people who couldn't read or write.
That's right, yes.
And which is your contribution and your focus as a curator of the exhibit. You said that there was a fascinating development as illustration almost became more important than text. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Yeah, in the 13th century, they started to create these beautiful texts. And again, this is for the wealthy aristocrats and the people of the royal court in Paris. And these moralized Bibles were almost exclusively made in Paris. I know of one from Naples, but most of them are from Paris. And they're all for royal families. The series of them, and the ones that we're showing in the exhibition, have roundels.
Describe for our listeners what a roundel is.
Yeah, it's just a circle, basically. A circle, which is the frame of the image. So the image is within a circle. They are laid out about 8 to a page, little tiny bit of biblical text beside it, and then a little tiny bit of a moralizing interpretation of this bit of the Bible text. The series of moralized Bibles are all laid out with these roundels and tiny bits of text. They're all about how to live your life according to these little excerpts from the Bible. It's not a full biblical text. And the images do become more important because the images are showing you how to live your life.
Parallel would be the stained glass windows in the great cathedrals were, for people who couldn't read or write, they were the visual representation of creation, of the various wonders of God's special intention.
Exactly, and that circular format was inspired by the same format in the stained glass windows, yeah.
We started out with the early Lindisfarne, with the illustrations from the Irish monks early on, and then we moved in through the Carolingian period. What would be a distinctive feature in terms of illustration in the Carolingian period?
The Godescott Gospels we have there, the parchment has been dyed purple. The whole page is purple. The author portraits are painted with, you know, gold halos. I mean, very, very rich and luxurious manuscripts. In the Carolingian period, they were really going for more naturalism because part of the recreating the Roman Empire idea was to bring back the Roman classical style of figure drawings. That's a bit different.
With the advent of printing, which closes out the medieval period, perhaps, anything in the printed Bibles that we have on display that have any illustration in them?
Not in the ones that we have on display, and mostly not, that the advent of print kind of meant the end of the beautiful illustrated Bibles.
Yeah.
They do have some Bibles that included printed images with them, and some of them that were printed in black and white, but then hand-colored. There are a few of those, but they're not, unfortunately, in our exhibition.
Janice, the museum will be open Tuesdays through Saturdays from 10 to 5, closed on Mondays, and then from Sunday from 1 to 5. And if people wanted to arrange a particular exhibit for a church or for a group that would like to come through, you can arrange special tours to the museum.
Yes, you can arrange special tours. Just call the museum.
And thanks to Chuck, we have the number of the museum, which is 742-2490. Time has flown so quickly, Janice. What would you say is the particular beauty, attraction of this particular exhibit?
I have to give credit to Andy Gedeon and his crew at the museum, they really put together a beautiful exhibition. The Bibles are gorgeous. The way that they have displayed them really, really looks fantastic. So I think that visitors can learn a lot from this exhibition, but they're also going to see just a beautiful array of Bibles.
A real spiritual experience, shall we say, for those of art.
Yes.
And of text.
Yes.
And of holy thought.
Yes.
It's been an absolute delight to have you with us, Janice, this Sunday afternoon. Thank you so much for illustrating our journey through the Bible this Sunday afternoon.
Thank you, Tom.
You've been listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with your host, Tom McGovern. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health, celebrating 100 years of working to improve the health and quality of life in the communities we serve. Join us next Sunday for another edition of Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1, a service of Texas Tech Public Media.